You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Off and running another hour here on Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network. And what a Friday it is going to be here. Joe Ranieri, appreciate you stopping in as we're getting ready now, just a few minutes away from the opening tip-off with the Miami Heat, trying to advance and keep their playoff streak alive here. Now, don't forget, they were in this spot a year ago, taking on this same Chicago Bulls team with an opportunity, one and done, elimination game. And Miami ended up getting it done in that one. And then, of course, the rest is history as they went right through the Eastern Conference and then fell a little bit short to the Denver Nuggets here. But they're going to have to do it without Jimmy Butler here tonight. And that's the big problem here for Miami. But the question is it a problem tonight or is it a problem moving forward? And I think we can all agree that having to go to Boston, which the winner of this game will do, not great not having Jimmy Butler. But we also know they're not playing Boston tonight. They're playing the Chicago Bulls, who have their own injury concerns at this time of year. Caruso was cleared to play, but again, ankle injuries, not great that he sustained in the last game against the Atlanta Hawks. We have seen the money continue to kind of roll in here on Miami. I am starting to see Miami now laying two in the marketplace here as 1.5s are quickly turning over to two as we are just about 8 minutes away from the opening tip. Also, the total continues to rise here at 207 now, up from a low of 205.5 early this morning as we welcome in our radio audience from around the country on this Friday. Happy Friday, and get ready for some elimination NBA basketball, because that's what's going on here tonight. I'm Joe Ranieri, Game Time Decisions, and we are trying to make just that. The game time decision on, is it the Heat or is it the Bulls that we trust in this spot? The market continues to push the Miami Heat up and the total up. This originally opened up at about 208, 208.5. It was bet all the way down on the Jimmy Butler news down to about 205. Now we're starting to see it climb back up here. Now, does the public believe that the Heat are going to score a ton of points without Jimmy Butler, or is this market push something else? Kobe White, DeMar DeRozan, those are the two guys from a prop betting perspective. I know there are an awful lot of folks taking an eye on and probably centering a lot of their plays around that fact. And Kobe White single-handedly was the one who carried the Bulls past the Atlanta Hawks in that last game. That might have been the easiest over that we have had in a long time in that game. As Kobe White had, 42 points in that game? Nobody else really needed to do a whole heck of a lot. I don't know that he is going to do that in this game against the Miami Heat defense, who was pretty good. Even with Jimmy Butler on one leg, they were still pretty good and did a heck of a job limiting Joel Embiid and a very dangerous Sixers offense in that last game. So the Bulls, without a doubt, are going to have their hands full here tonight. And Miami will have to rise up and do it without their leader, Jimmy Butler. But they are in South Beach. They are home. And they do have Caleb Martin. They do have Tyler Hero, Kevin Love. They do have plenty of the pieces that they have had from a year ago when they made that run, and most importantly, maybe the guy on the sideline, which I don't ever think gets enough credit, and that being Eric Spoelstra, I think one of the best NBA coaches and one of the best motivators in the game, and who'd have thunk it, given the fact that Pat Riley handpicked him, and we all know the history of Pat Riley as a head coach, one of the best motivators ever. This Miami team will be ready for the Chicago Bulls. Kobe White over 2.5 made threes. Not a bad way to look there. He certainly has the hot hand, and coming off of that game may very well be feeling it, but Miami's not going to make it easy on him here tonight. DeMar DeRozan, what are we going to get out of him? Well, what are we going to get out of Vucevic taking on the big man, Bam Adebayo? I'll tell you this, Vucevic, 17.5 points is his point prop here tonight. And he's gone under 17.5 points in 7 of his last 9 games against Bam Adebayo. And that also includes last year's play-in tournament game. Same situation here, which oddly enough was also at 17.5 points here. So certainly a lot of different ways to be able to attack this game here tonight. Do keep in mind Adebayo limited Joel Embiid with some help there to 6 of 17 on Wednesday. I'm not quite sure how Vucevic is going to get 17.5 points in this one, because if Vucevic is one of your leading scorers, things went terribly wrong for the Chicago Bulls here tonight. So I don't mind focusing on that prop either. And if you have followed the Heat this year, then you no doubt know that they have been one of the most profitable first half teams in the association. It's a pick 'em price right about now, -1, -120, somewhere in that ballpark there. The Heat are the ultimate team to back early. And did you see what that lead was? 14, I believe, at the break on the road against Philadelphia. I do believe that the Heat, sans Jimmy Butler, 7-2 against the number in the first half this year when Jimmy was not available for them to play. This team comes out firing. They will come out firing in this game as well. So Miami Heat full game, Miami Heat first half, and then a number of very interesting prop bets coming up here in just a few minutes as the Heat and the Bulls are going to get ready to do battle. Following that game, another big battle here. Very similar storylines in the games, too, between Sacramento and New Orleans. New Orleans without their star player, right? No Zion Williams, but they do have a number of other pieces in there that are more than capable of carrying this team to a victory, and awaiting that side of the bracket is going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder, number one seed. Very good team. Total talent, but also very young. Sacramento is filled with a ton of experience. So is New Orleans. So will that matter? Well, they got to win the game tonight before they'll get a chance to push themselves against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the one seed. But I think the West is going to be real interesting here starting this weekend. A lot of teams and a lot of series here where the dog could very well win outright and be extremely profitable. But we got to get there first. That's tomorrow. Tonight, we got the Heat. We got the Bulls. We got Sacramento and New Orleans. Don't go anywhere. Come back and join us. Game time decisions here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game time decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by on this Friday as we get ready for some elimination basketball, and nothing like it. You got to love urgency, and nobody knows that better than Matty Perrault, who'll be taking over here up at the top of the hour because, well, whether or not Sharapan shows up, we're still trying to figure that one out. Although I think he's out trying to find the new City Connect Pittsburgh Pirates jerseys, at which point He should be beat with it if he shows up on air with that thing on there. Manny, let me ask you a question here. Elimination, gotta love urgency in playoffs, right? Nothing better than the Stanley Cup when that comes here tomorrow. But tonight, Miami and Chicago, game one, were you leaning one way or the other in this one?
I took Miami minus 1.5. I think it's interesting that the books, even without Butler, put Miami as the favorite. And I think it's simply because of the better coaching. I think the roster, the depth. I like Miami to win at home here. I think Miami, look, Boston's going to get a big, big break here to get Miami without having to face Jimmy Butler. But it's still a veteran team. They know how to win. They're a prideful organization. They won a game on their home court against an Atlanta team that was just done. I thought Atlanta would show up and play much better. They did not. I wasn't fully impressed with either team in that game. I think Miami's just better than Chicago. So it's a low number. It's 2, I believe, now for the Heat. I'm okay with laying a bucket here. I think Miami wins. It'll be Miami and Boston with the 1 versus 8.
Yeah, well, it really doesn't matter who wins at that point. But we, you got to eventually, somebody has to go through some Boston can hurry up and beat them. You do have a West Coast game tonight as well there with New Orleans and Sacramento. How much stock do you put in the fact that New Orleans has beaten the living snot out of them every time they played this year? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Can they win without Zion? If Miami wins without Jimmy, can't New Orleans win without Zion?
Same logic, same bet. Yes, I'm on the Pelicans, and I got it at just minus 1, and it's on to pick. I think some places are maybe it may flip before tip, but look, they're 8-4, the Pelicans are, without Zion, ATS, this year. They've played a bunch of games without him. Last year, they played a ton without him. Having Zion on the court is more inconsistent than having him on the court. That's the hook, right? He scored 40 points in the last game. They thought they were going to be able to pull off an upset. It didn't happen. The Lakers were able to storm in the last 3 minutes when Zion's hamstring went out. Then they went on that run, and the Lakers wound up winning. But I think the role players for the Pelicans, I think, will step up. And I don't think it's going to be Brandon Ingram. Ingram looks unlike himself. He looks hurt, maybe disinterested. The team doesn't really trust him. I just think the home court is big here. And I think that the Pelicans have a chance to just keep doing what they have done this season against this opponent. Just dominate and win. I don't think they win it going away, but give me both home teams tonight. This is why you play basketball, why you play the games. Have home games, one game elimination. They're game sevens. You want it at home. Same logic applies in my mind. Most often game sevens are won by the home team. Both home teams win today.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and it was just a little more than a week ago, the Pelicans beat the Kings by 12 points there, and like they have done a number of times here. So sometimes, you know, styles make fight, right? And it just has not been a great matchup for Sacramento. We'll see if they can get it done here tonight, the Pelicans, and advance to OKC. You and I have had a conversation. Like, it doesn't matter who wins this Miami-Chicago game. Does it matter, do you think, for OKC who wins this late game here tonight?
I mean, I think I'd rather play a Zion-less Pelicans team if I had to pick. I don't want to go to Sacramento and take on the Kings on the road. So the Kings are a much better home team than they are a road team. The Kings are not good on the road equally. Losing record on the road. Didn't play well in New Orleans. Didn't play well against anybody on the road, really. So I think if I was the one seed, I want to take on the team without their number one player. So if I'm picking, I want the Pelicans to win this game and have them come to their place but Sacramento equally, you know, because they're bad on the road, maybe you want them. But I think if I'm picking, I want a Zion-less Pelicans team coming into my place versus Sacramento.
Yeah, is he available to come back if they do win? I mean, I don't think Jimmy's coming back, period, but maybe Zion can rub some dirt on that and get back in there. But they have to win that game first coming up later. There is a nasty rumor around that on Bostonian versus the book here earlier today that Cam Stewart convinced you that Toronto might win this series here against the Bruins. Is there any truth to this? And I'm saying this is the rumor. I didn't get a chance to see it.
Oh, there's more than rumor.
This
is factual. This is fact. The bet has been placed. Okay. The bet is that if the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Bruins, I will wear a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey on air. And it must be reciprocated. If the Bruins win, Cam must be wearing a Boston Bruins jersey on the air, on Sports Grid, when the Boston Bruins advance. He said Leafs in six. I disagree, but okay. I mean, this is Lucy with the football all over again for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They just keep on running right at the Bruins, and they're 0-4 so far. And let's go 0-5 here, right on their back. Football gets pulled. Wow. Everybody in Toronto starts crying. It's going to happen. I mean, I the Bruins, look, there's two teams, one in Vegas, one in Boston. They both tanked to get the matchups. Golden Knights wanted the Dallas Stars. They tanked last night and they lost 4-1 as $4 favorites. Same thing goes for the Bruins. They lost their last two games because they wanted to play Toronto. I think that's good news for anybody who wants to back the Bruins and the Golden Knights, because I think they like the matchups. They like who they're going to face. They're going to win the games, but Boston just has, look, we start with the Panthers last year, right? They won the President's Cup next year, and they got bounced in the first round. Next year, went to the Cup Finals. Bruins, President Cup, historic season, lose to the Panthers in round one. Let's see where they go, but I would be very surprised to see Boston lose in the first round.
Yeah, that's almost blasphemous that both of you have decided that you have to wear the other team's jersey. It's just that's going to hurt one way or the other there. But should be an interesting series there, right? Which one of these teams can get over the hump and advance? There are a lot, and call me crazy, but it feels like there's a lot of dogs in this round one in the NHL tomorrow that have a shot at legit. But again, are they really upsets here? I mean, what's the deal with Colorado? Is Tampa really that big a dog? Like some of these, it feels like it's a coin flip across the board in a lot of these games coming up.
Goaltending, right? It's the postseason. This is going to come down to goaltending. This is all going to come down to how did your goaltender play? Get a hot goalie. Vancouver, Winnipeg, you start looking at some of these teams and you're like, all right, the Rangers being monster favorites, they don't get good goaltending. I mean, there's some really, I mean, the Hurricanes, there's some significantly heavy dogs that you win one game, if they can get a split, all of a sudden the odds completely change. So the first two games in the NHL playoffs are just huge for these big underdogs. And some of these, I mean, look, Tampa Bay, should they be that big of a dog? I mean, like Florida, I mean, you're down there. You know about this rivalry more than I do on Florida versus Tampa, but it feels like that series is going to be close, is it not?
You would think, but I do think they finally turned that corner last year. But to your point, it's going to be which Vasilevskiy shows up, which Bobrovsky shows up. And that's going to determine who wins that series there, because they both have experience. They both can certainly win that series, but I think to your point, the goaltending is where it's all going to be decided, and I think we're going to know it rather quickly in all of these series come up. Does Boston flip-flop goalies, or do they stick with one here? What do they do, the Bruins here, and who should it be if you're the coach?
I'm playing Swayman until I see him falter, and then I'd go with Allmark, but you've got two options to roll with. I'm playing Swayman first. I think Swayman's the better younger goaltender. Allmark had a great run last year, but really had a tough time in the postseason last year. So I'd be inclined to play Swayman. And then you got Allmark waiting in the wings. If you have to play him, you play him.
Just in case. There you go. All right. The battle has begun. Matty Perrault, appreciate it, my man. Taking over at the top of the hour. Game Time Decisions returns here on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. We have breaking news. Apparently Aaron Judge got another hit. Didn't see that coming. But he didn't result in any runs yet, but the Yankees trying to get one done here at the stadium, taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. And we also want to remind folks that while we've got NBA playoffs going on, 21-11, Miami up over Chicago, by the way, NHL's tomorrow, but don't forget a pretty big event happening next Thursday. And right here on the network as well with our next guest here, who's going to be right smack in the middle of it, Joe Lisi in the house. Can you believe it is the NFL draft Lisi, a week away. It's kind of nuts, but it's, you know, like Jet fans like myself, this is the biggest night of the year because everything else sucks. So this is where hope reigns free here, right, in this draft coming up?
Well, if you get Brock Bowers, yeah, then all of a sudden, buy those AFC championship tickets, right, Joe? Big Bad Aaron and the New York Jets, that's it. Yeah, I'm a Dolphin fan. It doesn't get any better. We're not going to go anywhere with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle anyway, and so it doesn't matter. You know, we're both in the same boat, so we'll see how this plays out.
So how is it going to play out? I mean, it obviously everyone seems hell-bent in understanding who the first pick and quarterback is. How do you see the top half of this draft going? A lot of quarterback needy teams, a lot of available quarterbacks. How do you have it rated?
Well, I think now just looking from the odds and just looking in regards to, you know, Justin Fields moving on, I think it's definitely Caleb Williams for number one. He's minus, what, 20,000 for the Chicago Bears, but the discussion then becomes two and three. I think there's no doubt if Washington stays pat at number two, I don't care who they've had into camp. I know Jaden Daniels was upset that all four quarterbacks came there, but I don't think they could start a new regime with Josh Harris and Dan Quinn and go with Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, especially when you had mediocrity for the past 20, 25 seasons with Daniel Snyder, right? So the fact that Jaden Daniels is there on the board, he could take a game over, is the best pure passer and touch passer in this draft class, and we know about his legs. I think he goes number two. The discussion then remains, does New England stay pat at three? If so, do they go with maybe Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, or do they, in fact, trade out with a team like Minnesota or maybe another team that maybe values either an offense or a defensive player? It could be potentially Joe Alt, Harrison, or maybe a defensive player like we saw Will Anderson go last year, two and three. Maybe it's Dallas Turner.
Well, it's so interesting because the top half of the board all has a whole lot of needs and certainly a lot of quarterbacks going on there. What are you hearing about Penix? Is this a guy that might shock us and move up the draft board and somebody take him sooner rather than later? You know, who is that one guy that right now, not a lot of chatter about, but ultimately there could be some movement to go get him. He feels like he should be way more in a discussion than what he is.
Well, I'm with you if we're talking quarterbacks, right? His number was 33.5 in terms of slot. He's down to 32.5 with Bo Nix. But when you talk about a pure passer, 4,000 yards, he ran a 4.5 40. He did it at Indiana with mediocre skill players. He could definitely do it in terms of the NFL, and he's a pure pocket passer. Fits the need of Las Vegas, fits the need potentially with Minnesota. So I think there's no doubt that Michael Penix does go in the top 32. I definitely think that. If we're talking skill players, though, Joe, I'll throw two out there. You know, Brian Thomas from LSU is 75-1 shot to be the second wide receiver. We talk about neighbors. We talk about, obviously, Marvin Harrison. I put the comp. Marvin Harrison is like Calvin Johnson. Neighbors is like Tyreek Hill. But Brian Thomas is right there as well. Big body, 6'3", 215. Ran a 4.3 40. We talk about the numbers for Jaden Daniels. Brian Thomas has half those numbers that he had. It was the other half was Malik Nabers. 75-1. And then I'll throw another flyer. Running back, first running back off the board. Braylon Allen is the Derrick Henry of this class. This draft class for running backs, mediocre. He's a 45-1 shot to be the first guy off the board.
So besides quarterbacks here, what is the other stockpiled spot that we're talking? Everyone wants tackles. We get that. Yep. But, you know, that doesn't mean there's a boatload available. What is the other positions that you think teams can really benefit on in this draft?
I think the end, because you talk about Dallas Turner, right? He's even money. He's the favorite. But don't count out Jared Verse from Florida State. I think Jared Verse is more like a Myles Garrett type of player, and I think he's better in run support than Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner's the edge rusher, pure edge rusher. The guy that forces double teams is Jared Verse. He was a 7-1 shot to be the first defensive player off the board. He's down now to plus 350. And don't count out Latu from UCLA. 13 total sacks last year, led all Pac-12 players. We saw Phillips go, what, top 15 for the Miami Dolphins a couple of years ago? That translates as well. He's an active player, more like Dallas Turner, but if you like his body size, does have a neck injury in his past, but potentially at plus 350, he's a very athletic defensive end. Not as good in run support. Best run support is Jared Verse all around. I think he could go as well.
So what happens movement-wise? There are a lot, and we believe nothing of what we hear, right? Everything leading up to the draft is all BS. You take it.
Right.
It's all smoke and mirrors until we get there. But what is that one team that might be willing to move up and go get a player? What is the first trade? Around what number do you think?
I think it's between 3 and 5. You know, we see the Chargers there because, again, if Jim Harbaugh came in, kept Ekeler or kept Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, I'd say, okay, maybe they're one player away. They could maybe draft a Marvin Harrison or a Malik Nabers in terms of that regard. The fact that he got rid of both of those players, he might be willing to draft out of that position, right, and trade out because he could get draft capital. So, you know, again, they're not one player away. They have Justin Herbert. He's got to build a team according to what he wants, and that might take a couple of years. So why not get draft capital trading out of the 5 slot? I will say this, and I'll get your take because I know you follow the NFL. Did you think Sean Payton signed up for a complete rebuild in Denver when he took the job with Russell Wilson? He took the job because he thought it was an absolute complete one-stop, you know, fix. I could just wave my magic wand, and then in 2 years, maybe we're playing for an AFC championship. Now they have no quarterback, no identity. He's getting rid of his best players. You think he's going to put out for another 2 or 3 seasons in a rebuild? We're not talking about Denver. They have no assets whatsoever. They could be a team that trades up to potentially get one of these quarterbacks.
It feels like to me, JoJo, doesn't it? It feels like when he got there, the thought process was, I can fix him. We've got the pieces. Right. I think after an hour in the building with him, he's like, we got to blow this thing up and get
rid
of it.
Right?
There is absolutely
about it, Joe. When my Dolphins tacked a 70 on his ass, he wanted to get rid of Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton.
Everybody.
It wasn't until they actually, you know, pulled it back a little bit. They went on a little bit of a run. And then he's like, maybe we could fix it. But the identity is, where are they going? He's not going to stay there 3 years to go through the growing pains at his age. He wants an immediate winner. That's why he took that job.
Yep, he did. And I think he realized, it wasn't long after, I think that he realized he had some issues in that locker room. He had some, I mean, big issues. I think it started with Russell Wilson. And I thought he tried to navigate early and realized, listen, quite honestly, the fact that they were even available and playing for a playoff spot late in the season is mind-blowing to me.
Right.
And I think you got to give him credit. But I think, hey, this is the hand you were dealt. What is he going to do? You're going to keep him and then try and – it would only get worse from there. So I think it's a no-win situation. And then you get Harbaugh that comes into your division now. And quite honestly, are you buying Harbaugh from – it didn't work the first go around in the NFL, right? He couldn't get along with anybody. Is he going to get along with everyone now?
It might take 2 or 3 years. And the reason why, because you know the Chargers are like a glass house. His style doesn't translate to the Chargers, what they had with Staley.
Yep.
Staley was a player's coach. It's never their fault, accountability. That's going to take at least 2 years to weed out. That's why I'm shocked that they're still 21-1, the same price as the Cleveland Browns to potentially win an AFC championship, again, with no assets outside of Justin Herbert, which is amazing.
Yeah, we also learned, of course, that the overreaction to Diggs being traded to Texans are winning the Super Bowl now, Joe. I don't know if you know that. It doesn't really matter until Diggs gets in the locker room and blows it up here. Are we over the top here with the Texans right now?
I'm not over the top. I just love C.J. Stroud because they bashed kid last year, and he just erased everything. You know, the Wonderlic, the Manning camp, he erased every critic, and the kid deserved everything he got last year. So I'm more of a buyer of him and D'Amico Ryans for what he did last year than I am so much Stephon Diggs. But that being said, it's a great asset. And, you know, Nico Collins and Tank Dell now won't be double-teamed.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, though, the minute he doesn't get as many passes as he likes, there's going to be a lot of sulking.
He might play eight games.
The guy's a ticking time bomb, Joe. But you've got your finger on the pulse and a big, big show coming up, draft party here next Thursday on Sports Grid with Joe Lisi. We appreciate it, brother. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again next week. GTD is back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network on this Friday. We certainly appreciate you stopping by. A quick update, Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls, the end of the first quarter, 34-17. The Heat getting it done, shooting, I believe, just over 52% in the first quarter there, and handling business at home, even though they don't have any Jimmy Butler here. But we've seen this version of the Heat before. They go into the break with a lead, and then it's they got to hold on for dear life. So plenty of basketball left to be played. Nobody knows that more than PGH himself, Mr. Dave Sharapan. And as sure as I'm sitting here, Dave, I said it earlier. I said these are horrific City Connect uniforms with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't know what they're wearing. And I said, without a doubt, Sharapan's going to come in here wearing this new City Connect jersey, and voila. Well, I love the hat, though. The hat is the hat is hot.
This is a BBB because I got to go on with Perrault. Red Sox are playing the Pirates. It's a big series, okay, in April. I don't know if there's any really big series. But, yes, the City Connect are questionable. I haven't got one yet, but I'll get back to Pittsburgh here hopefully soon, pick myself up one. It's a bright, okay? And it's okay. What's not bright is the City Connect Mets uniforms, which we got a guy who's a pretty big Mets fan, you know, behind the scenes here. He said he liked them. I can't believe it. They look like the Yankees. They're always trying to be different than the Yankees. The blue and orange is outstanding. And Joe, I mean, you're a Yankee guy. They look like the Yankees, do they not? What is that?
I have no idea. And I said the same thing last year with the Padres because I thought it was the Marlins. I'm like, that is the kind of uniform the Marlins would have on with all the, you know, the pinks and the like, wait a minute. It's that's the Padres? What are we doing?
Like no, but they're nice. No.
But it looks like something the Marlins would wear. Like, what? That looked like a Miami uniform, not
kinda
a Padres.
Does.
Just way too many fuchsias and colors involved with the whole. You know what? There's something really nice turning it on and seeing, like, you know, the White Sox with the gray and black, and everyone wins. Like, we all know what it is. Yeah, look at us there. It's a Yankee uniform.
It's almost an old. I like the NYC on the jersey, okay? But and it's terrible. Old school. It has. I have a feeling like we went back into, like, the 1930s with the classic look.
Right.
The hat is sharp with that bridge underneath the NY. Pretty good. I just would have liked them to be blue. Like, that pinstripe could have been blue.
Orange.
They look kind of like you know, prison uniforms. I don't know. It's something about them. The purple underneath. What's the significance of the purple? See, every City Connect has something. The Phillies went, and they're wearing theirs tonight, went blue.
I don't know what that is either. Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but it's one of those things. So, I don't know.
No. Don't like it. No. I'm an old curmudgeon along those lines. Just listen, if it ain't broke, let's not fix it. Okay. Right. I want to know who's playing when I see it. You know, that's what I want to know, where I have to guess who's ugly City Connect is. Like, I would never look at the Phillies right now and be like, oh, the Phillies. Who? No, absolutely terrible. Don't understand that one at all. But
speaking of the Phillies, though, Joe, like, is against the White Sox one of the easiest bets of baseball season up to this point? Like, you don't have to think. Unless the price is going to break you, there's not a team. I mean, like, it could be a rough day for Chicago today. The Cubs already won, but the White Sox, they're going to lose. The Bulls getting smoked. The Blackhawks season done. The Bears are on the clock. I mean, it's a big week for Chicago, right? This is But I don't think there's an easier bet in baseball right now than against the White Sox. Got to be the worst team in the league.
Well, again, tell that to the Marlins, because they are pretty horrific as well. But at least they had this kid. By the way, they just pulled him. So this kid, Crochet, Crockett, however he pronounces his name, the kid has looked really, really good. He's got an absolutely amazing arsenal. I think he'll be fine. But the problem is he's never going to get any run support. That total was down to 7.5, Dave. They got 7 runs alone. Right now, the Phillies. So that's not going to work, don't think, with them. Until they can get Lewis Roberts back, Moncada, they got to get some guys that can hit there, but they have absolutely nobody. But you never told me. You're on Boston tonight wearing the Pittsburgh gear? Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah. Priester is a number one draft choice that they keep just trucking out there. And I go, faded him last year. Surprised that he's up there this year trying to get innings and all this other stuff, just prone to the big inning. And they're already down 3-0 to a team in the Red Sox that really has struggled to score runs. So, and you got Bayo or Bello or Joey Callo. I don't know what his name is, but he's pitching. I don't know how to say it right, but I know he looks pretty good so far. The Pirates got an out at the plate to keep the inning from getting out of hand. It's definitely Red Sox tonight, but it's Pirates tomorrow.
Yes.
Probably Pirates on Sunday. When I see the pitchers and get confirmation, I think the Buccos will win tomorrow and then take 2 out of 3 for the series. So that's what we're looking at as far as the whole weekend. But, I mean, there's games tonight. The Mets are playing tonight against the Dodgers. Did you see that line?
Yes.
What are we doing with Yamamoto? Come on.
We're hitting him, and we're playing overs because I'm yet to see this guy shut anybody out. He doesn't, and he strikes some dudes out, but what I have seen of him, you know, early on is that he's not missing a lot of barrels sometimes, and that means runs. I played the over in it, Dave, because I just don't see. Manea, too, is pitching above his head right now.
Yep.
He's walking more. He is missing more barrels, but my goodness, how long is that going to last against that Dodgers lineup? I thought 8.5 was a little low, and until I see a big goose egg up there for Yamamoto, I'm not. He's just as hittable as anybody else right now. And don't the Mets always give them problems out of Chesnervin?
Yep,
they do, right?
Yeah, the Mets are probably a live dog at that price, right?
But
the over's the best play in the game. The other game, West Coast, is Diamondbacks and Giants. And I looked at this morning and I said, man, this is one of those things. Like, if I was in the room, I would just stand up on a table and say, make this pick 'em and let them bet the Giants. Have you seen Snell's stats? I don't get it. I'm looking at it and I'm going, I got it right here. 0-2, 12.86 ERA, and his whip is almost 2, like 1.9. Right.
Yep.
You figure the Diamondbacks to score runs tonight. Give Montgomery a lead, and, I mean, that's a nice plus tonight. Sometimes they just scream out at you. So we'll be looking at that.
What do these two guys have in common? They both share the same agent that didn't allow them to have any spring training. So if you want to know why their numbers are like that, going up against Montgomery, I think there's going to be nothing but fireworks here because both these guys weren't allowed to show up and play with anybody because somebody was getting rich. Scott Boras was getting rich, but these guys weren't pitching. So I do think it'll work out eventually for Snell, and Montgomery's still trying to figure it all out here. But it does feel, even in that ballpark, Dave, it does feel like runs should be coming against those two guys. No?
I would think so. That's another one of those, like, dog it over. I mean, if nothing else, Diamondbacks team total over.
Yes.
Right? I mean, the only way Snell, I think, doesn't give up a couple is that he has one of those nights where he's amazing, goes five or six innings of two-hit ball with multiple strikeouts and things like that. But, yeah, I figure the Diamondbacks to score tonight, when just when you look at it, that's a pick'em game. So when you take a plus. The other game tonight, too, Joe, it's out west, pick'em game, Toronto and San Diego.
Yes.
I looked at that and said, wow, this is really interesting. You put up a number in the book, and it sits there all day. Maybe a couple cents here, a couple cents there. It flips back and forth. But, man, I don't know what to do with the side here. Who do you expect to actually hit tonight? That's the hard part. I don't know.
That's the bigger. It's not like Waldron and the kid Rodriguez give you a whole lot of confidence one way or the other here, but and that's a tough ballpark to hit in to begin with there at Petco. So it's not a great hitter's ballpark, so to speak. So I that's a game where flip a coin. I thought Peralta had a much bigger advantage over Gibson. I took the Brewers over the Cardinals here tonight. Yep. That game is coming up here. The Brewers, I've been preaching it for, you know, since the season started. Don't sleep on the Brewers in a winnable division. I just didn't see them smashing the ball like that is. But the pitching's coming around. I don't buy the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are in for a 75-win season here. I think it's going to be rough for them. And I don't think Gibson is going to look nearly as good as he did in the first couple of starts. I think there's runs coming in this one as well.
I can't believe that, like, when you look at the odds to win a division, the NL Central, prior to the season starting, the Cardinals were at the top. And that was like, oh, about last year. That's no problem.
Oh, you're fine. Yeah.
They fix everything. What are you talking about?
No.
And the Brewers became the third or fourth choice simply because Burns left. And they didn't look at the rest of the starting pitching. Now, they're keeping them in games, yes. But like you said, the offense is performing way above expectations. So,
yes.
I don't know. This is kind of a big weekend series, and one that we would be in the book going, all right, do we need to adjust the odds right now? Do we need to maybe put the Brewers a little closer to the favorite, or even, dare I say, make them right behind the Cubs? Because in my book right now, it's the Cubs are the best team in that division, top to bottom, lineup-wise, and they got pitching coming. Like, they ain't even got everybody healthy right now. So, the NL Central is really interesting to look at. As the Heat are just blowing out the Bulls, did you have a strong opinion either way about the basketball game coming up after that?
Yeah. Oh, I was on the I tried to convince the viewing audience as best I could last hour that Jimmy Butler was not needed to beat the Chicago Bulls. 42-27. We also took the over. And I just in the life of me, I can't figure out and reviewed the five games that these teams played over the season. 250s, 240s, even without Zion, I can't help but to think this number is a little bit low here tonight at 210.5, is it somewhere 211? Really? We're going to get a defensive juggernaut from these two teams?
The only way I think we get the unders is if there's a blowout. And by blowout, I don't mean like 25. I mean by double digits, right? Team wins by double digits, that means maybe somebody stays under 100 and we don't get there. But you have to figure both teams to score 100, which would then put it a lot closer to the total of going over. I'll be surprised if it doesn't go over. Yeah. I have no idea what to do with the side. No idea. Really? You're seeing it in Miami tonight. Star player out, whole team answers, they're fine. Same thing could happen tonight for the Pelicans.
Yeah. Well, the theory is the same, right? Same handicap here, but they got to show up tonight if you are New Orleans. Dave's going to show up with Matty Peralt in just a few and in-game live. We appreciate it, Davey. Game time decisions. Close it out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in as we close out this edition of Game Time Decisions here. But don't worry, Matty Perrault and Dave Sharapan coming up here in just a minute in game live, and they will be primetime here, keeping you up to date on the first of the elimination games right now underway, the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls, 42-31, 11-point lead for Miami right now with about 5.5 to go in the first half here. Bulls are on a nice little 9-0 run here to be able to cut that almost a 20-point deficit here as they got about 5 minutes left to go in the break. We also have a whole lot of Major League Baseball games going on in which the fellas will keep you all up to date on. The Yankees can't seem to score a run, which is okay given the fact that neither can Tampa. Nothing, bottom of the third in that one. The Astros welcome back Justin Verlander, and they have also given him a three-run cushion. Well, now a two-run cushion. 3-1 now with Verlander in there pitching through four innings, coming up top of the fifth here for the Houston Astros here. We'll see if Washington, or when and how long do they let Verlander go in this game, I think will be interesting. The Braves and the Rangers knotted up at one apiece heading into the third. And how about the Guardians? Boy, they refuse to lose here. 2-1 right now over the Athletics. We have no score with the Royals and the Orioles, which is okay because the Red Sox seem to be doing all the scoring right now, heading to the bottom of the fifth in Pittsburgh with just one hit, is now down 5-0 to the Red Sox. They are coming up bottom of the fifth. Angels and Reds knotted up one apiece, and the White Sox should just pack it in now as the Phillies are up 7-0. Much more baseball to come, much more basketball to come, and in-game live primetime is coming up next. Game Time Decisions will be back tomorrow. Until then, best of luck with your plays. We'll talk to you soon.